це не на нас.
Де ти? А, он летить. Та він не високо їде. Йопті, йопті. 20 кг. Японський бог. Надо їти додому.
Gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tordio. Russia looks like it's about to fall into a massive trap over inside of the Sumy Oblast, and we're about to watch that whole thing unfold here in the next couple days. Russia has committed upwards of 25 to 30,000 troops into this fight. That includes two divisions of airborne troops, two brigades, in addition to that, of airborne troops, and two artillery brigades that they ended up bringing into the fight. Now, what they don't realize, or maybe they do, is actually what lies ahead. Today, we're going to be going over that and a lot more, including Putin's reaction to the strike on the Kerch Bridge. I'm going to take you guys over to the map, and we're going to zoom in on Sumy and why it's so dang important, because the Russians have been going after this sucker for quite some time. It was actually one of the first cities that they rolled into when they ended up taking Ukraine, and for a dang good reason. All right, it is key terrain, and it's got a road that marches them straight over to Kiev. And because of that, Ukrainians have defended it relentlessly. It was one of the other places that they ended up taking back from Russians when all of this ended up happening. Now, here you can see where Sumy's at. And what we're going to do is we're going to scroll out from there. We're going to go up over here into the north of it. And when you look at the map, you'll see this place called Khotan. And then we're going to see the latest assessed Russian advancements up over here on the map. Now, Russian mil bloggers have been super excited because they've managed to take this terrain, but I don't think they actually ended up taking it. It is my opinion, after assessing the terrain and what's been going on, that Ukraine actually did a tactic called retrograding, that they're pulling back to better defendable positions. Now, it looks like within about the last 24 hours over here in the town of Yanakhnivka that they ended up advancing about 50% of the way through it. This little guy, we're not even going to bother with him because he's kind of like over there out in the open. This other one right over here, though, that kind of like drains down. It's off to the side, just off to the right of Andriivka. Olekizka, I'm going to screw that pronunciation up all day long. That actually has a road that's going to lead right down over into here. That's going to then lead down to the main supply route. That's going to then lead down into Sumy Oblast. And if we go up over the side, another huge, victory celebration for the Russians for some reason, bragging about taking the town of Kindrodivka, okay, right up over here. Now, these towns, while it might look like a very good thing for Russia, in my opinion, are setting them up for failure. Now, here's why. This map is going to give you a much better idea of what Russia has to deal with in order to get to this next objective. And make no mistake about it, they are trying to envelop the Ukrainian forces that are likely defending these positions as we speak. Over here in the town of Khotan, they've been taking cruise missiles over the last several days. Over here in Korchevivka, you likely have a very well defendable position. We're going to talk about that here in a minute, along with this town just off over to the right of it. And all of those roads they're going to end up having to get so that they can get to this green line right here that's going to allow them, if they take it, to get into Sumy Oblast. But the problem is all of the open terrain that scatters in between point A and point B. In between the right side objectives, you have 4 miles as the crow flies worth of open terrain, not even to mention all of these little curves that are in the road. Here you have about 2 miles of open terrain until you get to the next defendable position, and here about 3 miles. So all in all, Russia's got a hell of a lot of open terrain that they need to cross, and if they're relying sheerly on numbers, it's not going to turn out so good. That terrain is relatively flat and gives good freaking fires for all of the different machine guns, not to mention it's going to be mined, not to mention they're going to have to deal with artillery and other types of assaults that are going to be taking place. So if Russia wants to push forward across all of that terrain, they have a hefty amount of fire that they're going to have to overcome in order to do it. And it's going to result in great losses for Russia. Now, because of this, the Russians have been trying to prep the battle space. This article by Ukrainsky Pravda ended up coming out today, all right? And it ends up breaking down. There's one key line in here that I'm actually looking for. Right, and it has to do with the amount of cruise missiles they've actually sent that way. They said in this article that they sent over 200. Here we go. The Russians have dropped nearly 200 guided aerial bombs on Sumy Oblast over the past 2 weeks. That is a buttload of guided bombs that they have been dropping. Said on the night of 3 to 4 June, a Ukrainian group military analyst updated his data and reported that Russians had occupied settlements in Andriivka and Vodolyai. All right, in Sumy Oblast. Got it. We just went over those things on the map as well. All right, for this next portion, I'm going to take you over to this map, and I'm going to start explaining to you what the heck the Russians have to face coming up in front of them. We're going to start off right here, smack dead center. In order to do that, I'm going to bring you up over here onto this map. Now, here is the current city, all right, or the current town, right, that the Russians occupy. And as you can see, here is that one road that ends up going in between it. And this is more than likely the next area that Ukraine is going to be sitting in order to defend it. As you can see, it's got this nice like running road up here over to the side, and you can take a look at these fields, nothing but open farm fields as it goes down. So not a whole lot of places for the Russians to hide as they begin to push across. And like I said, all of that is going to end up being mined. And this is why I said it's going to be really, really good for the Ukrainians, because they have all of this vegetation over here on the backside and different routes that are pouring through over here to allow them to resupply themselves. Now, the same thing is going to be true when we look off just on the right side. So let me go ahead and put that map up on your screen. Now we're going to be going over here to this town, and we're going to be taking a look at what it's going to take for them to get down over in there. Let's do that real quick. Now, as we go up and we start taking a look at this terrain, okay, this is where Russia currently occupies, and this is where they're going to need to get. And again, you've got about 4 miles worth of open terrain that covers it. So let's go over and take a look at it. Well, again, you have vegetation that's pointing out. All right, so these are all great little hidey holes for the Ukrainian troops. Undoubtedly, you'll end up getting slammed by artillery and everything else. But if the Russians intend on pushing across these open farm fields, again, they're going to be met. Here you got different hedgerows and different things like that that are placed out to divide up those farmlands. But they are going to have to cross all of this open terrain, and that is going to end up causing them to get their poo-poo pushed in as they go about doing it. So as long as Ukrainian forces have good strongholds over on the other side of the line, they're going to be able to defend that position for quite a long time before Russia is able to push over top of them. Now, this next one is probably going to be one of my favorite ones, because Russia has got a serious butt kicking that's going to be in store for them over on the left flank. Once we start taking a look at that, as they would go over to march on Katyn, that is where they're going to have a massive amount of issues. Now, once we get this up on the map, it becomes really, really clear. Right here, they've got, as far as this road goes, a straight shot. That's it. And it's not a very large road, as you can see. Like, we can measure from measure distance from point A to point B. You're talking about a total of 7 meters. That is not that wide of a road. It's got a massive hedgerow on one side, which means that they'll be stuck pushing out to the other side unless all of that crap ends up getting burnt down. Now, as you look at the terrain that actually falls in between it, you can see that you have all sorts of different creeks, creek beds, and things like that the Russians are going to have to contend with if they intend on pushing across the open terrain in order to kind of hook their way over here into Katyn in order to make it happen, or Khotyn, or however you want to say it. All right, they're going to have to push really hard in order to make that happen. And even then, once they get up to the village itself, ladies and gentlemen, they've got a lot of easily defendable terrain that these Ukrainians are going to be hiding in, and it's going to make a pain in the butt for the Russians. If they try to flank around to the other side, they've got the similar issues that they're going to have to contend with in order to get in there. Now, none of that was such a big problem. Now, why would Ukraine choose to do that all the way up here in the north? Well, if you take a look at these towns, they are a hell of a lot more isolated. You've got the main supply route that comes into it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you've got kind of like a little bit of channeling, but Russia has a little bit better ability to maneuver around some of these places as they move in. So it would make sense for Ukraine to want to pull back. Now, retrograding, for those of you that are kind of unfamiliar with the term, essentially means that Ukraine is going to pull back to a better defendable position, essentially to set up a massive kill zone. And that's what you're looking at when you look at this map. This map right here, or the way this is set up, the way Ukraine is set to defend this area, is nothing but a gigantic kill zone for when the Russians start pushing across it. This is going to be a buttload of losses for the Russians should they choose to meat wave style this location. Now, this is just based on my own military experience and my professional opinion, but I would definitely assess that Russia is about to get its crap kicked in when they go push across this area. Can Ukraine hold is going to be the question. And I think, yes, this is a very, I don't want to say easily defendable because they're kind of out there flapping, but it's going to be a very good location for Ukraine to defend from. Having Shoigu show up over inside North Korea today is also another sign that the Russians are looking pretty weak. I have no doubt he's over there trying to get up more soldiers from the DPRK. Today, Putin made this statement.
Уже проводить в этих условиях подобные встречи. О чем говорить? Кто вообще ведет переговоры с теми, кто делает ставку на террор, с террористами? И за что их поощрять, предоставляя передышку в боевых действиях, которая будет использована для накачки режима западным оружием, для продолжения насильственной мобилизации и подготовки других террористических актов, подобных тем, которые были осуществлены в Брянской и Курской областях.
As you can see by listening to that man talk, he's got absolutely zero. And I mean, zero interest in having any sort of peace negotiations with Ukraine. A ceasefire is just not going to happen at this time, especially following the attacks over this weekend and the attack on the Kerch Bridge. He's saying he's just not going to negotiate, that there's no point in trying to negotiate with them. And this new assault over in the direction of Sumy absolutely leans towards that. Now, what makes it worse is his freaking staff is coming up with some of the most ridiculous statements as well. They literally just, I don't want to say they threatened Europe, but they basically did. Give it a listen.
Новейший ракетный комплекс средней дальности «Орешник» по своим характеристикам сегодня не имеет аналогов в мире. Боевое оснащение ракеты позволяет гарантированно преодолевать любые существующие и перспективные средства противоракетной обороны. Данным ракетным комплексом с гиперзвуковыми блоками возможно поражать различные цели, от одиночных до площадных, а также высокозащищенных с высокой эффективностью. Исходя из поставленных задач и дальности действий данного оружия, оно может поражать цели на всей территории Европы, что выгодно его отличает от других видов высокоточного оружия большой дальности. Как вы уже сказали, массированное применение данного вида оружия будет сопоставимо с применением ядерного оружия. Разработка ракетного комплекса «Орешник» позволит расширить боевые возможности ракетных войск стратегического назначения по поражению различных типов целей в соответствии с поставленными задачами как в неядерном, так и в ядерном снаряжении. Высокая оперативная готовность комплекса позволяет в кратчайшие сроки провести переприцеливание по любому назначенному объекту и нанести ему поражение. С учетом положительного результата проведенного пуска, полагается целесообразным принять комплекс на вооружение, продолжить дальнейшее использование с наращиванием характеристик и совершенствованием навыков личного состава по его эксплуатации и применению. Доклад закончен.
Так и сделаем. Спасибо.
Great. So now Russia wants to bring their Oreshnik ballistic missiles back into the fight, and they ended up stating that they're capable of hitting Europe. Well, I guess I don't know what happened to their failed launch last month, but we'll see if they can actually do it. Now, if they are going to employ them, I would assess that they're going to definitely do it in the direction of Sumy. 30,000 troops being committed to that area is massive. That is a buttload of troops for them to be throwing in this fight, and they're going to need every tiny bit of them. If my assessment is correct, that would make sense for why Russia has amassed 30,000 troops in the area to start pushing. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a buttload. That is a buttload to commit. That means that they are going to be trying this meat wave style attack just to push across those open areas, and I don't think it's going to turn out too good for them. Donald Trump ended up coming out with his own dang statement on this after 1.5 hour freaking phone call with Vladimir Putin, which he later deleted. I wonder why. He said, "I just finished speaking by the phone to President Putin of Russia. The call lasted approximately 1 hour and 15 minutes. We discussed the attack on Russia's docked airplanes by Ukraine and also various other attacks that have been taking place by both sides. It was a good conversation, but not a conversation that will lead to immediate peace." Putin did say, and very strongly, that he will have to respond to the recent attacks on the airfield. We also discussed Iran, and I'm going to get to that in a second. We also discussed Iran and the fact that this time is running out quickly on Iran's timing pertaining to nuclear weapons, which must be made quickly. I stated to Putin that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon, and on this, I believe that we were in agreement. Now, why, oh, why did Trump talk to Putin about the different assaults on the airfield? Well, I think it goes to Trump trying to say, hey, listen, we weren't a part of this, which would make sense to why Putin's military commander is sitting there saying that, you know what, we are just going, like, we have the ability to attack Europe. I would bet that the Kremlin thinks that a lot of the intelligence that came out of those attacks came out of Europe. But the fact that they brought back up the Oreshnik ballistic missiles and talking about the readiness and deployment of them says that, to me, that those ballistic missile attacks that they were using, or excuse me, those cruise missile attacks that they were using over in this area didn't exactly yield some very good results if Ukraine was able to actually retrograde back to these better defended positions. And the fact that they stacked up those 30,000 troops tells me that they are going to likely start prepping those objectives with those Oreshniks, with more guided missiles. And there is a possibility, because it has been said, and if Russia is actually getting this desperate, they might open up with chemical weapons such as blister or choking agents, although I highly doubt it. But if there was a place for them to do it, ladies and gentlemen, this would be the place. Now, as far as Iran goes, the Ayatollah came out giving crap to the United States of America, basically saying that they have been able to now complete the entire process from within their country. They can source their uranium and they can refine it and they can take it and do whatever the hell they want with it. And they basically told the United States, not basically, the Ayatollah did. He told the United States flat out to mind its own business when it comes to this. So not only have the peace deals for Ukraine fallen through, but it also seems the peace deals for Iran have fallen through as well. So what is to come and why the heck Trump be talking with Putin, especially about Iran? Well, if there was supposed to be some sort of a negotiation between the United States and Iran, they would need somebody to go in and look at these different nuclear facilities. Russia seems like a really good contender for that, seeing how Russia and Iranian relations are at the max right now. About 30 to 35% of the air munitions flying at Ukraine end up coming out of Iran. So Putin is very worried because if the United States ends up bombing the crap out of Iran, they're going to likely be affecting a lot of the freaking munitions that Russia would be using at the very same time. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Yet, if you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to the channel. In the meantime, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I'm out of here.